This edition of Section D was first broadcast on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, 2012. Hello, and a very warm welcome to a very chilly Section D, the weekly design hour on Monocle 24. I'm Hugo MacDonald. For this week's show, I flew to the winter wonderland of Sweden to celebrate the very best of Scandinavian design at the annual Stockholm Furniture Fair. It was snowy and very cold, but despite the frosty February climate and a rather large hole in my shoe, I felt woefully underdressed every time I stepped outdoors. I still managed to cover a lot of ground. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be hearing from the Finns, who invaded Stockholm en masse, with their Hell Yes food and design extravaganza.
It's like a social experience this time. It's the whole concept that has evolved into a totally different level. That there's like expressive arts and like dance, for example, and then there's also fashion and design. But I think this time the most interesting things are the space itself.
We'll also stop by the exhibition of Sweden's brightest young things, Form Us With Love.
It's really happy. We're happy about to see them all together because you don't really know before you see them that how things gonna come together. Like you said, it's stone vases together with chairs and lightning. So it's nice to see everything together.
And to hear how Scandinavian design is faring in foreign markets, we'll be dropping in on four different retailers in four cities around the world.
Scandinavian design itself is the idea of eliminating all unnecessary decoration, so it's kind of taking forms to its kind of purest. And something like that, you don't really grow tired of. You appreciate it, and I think that's what makes it so enduring.
That was Christopher Frey with Julie Doust, owner of Mjölk, which is Swedish for milk, but that's actually a design store in Toronto. We'll also travel to Sao Paulo, Shanghai, and Sydney to hear from three more Nordic design emporia. And we'll be hearing some wonderful music from the Swedish teenage popstrel that's set to storm the charts this year. All that, plus much, much more besides, coming up in this week's edition of Section D. Hello and welcome to a Nordic edition of Section D in celebration of the Stockholm Furniture Fair. Every year at the beginning of February, the great and good of the Scandinavian design industry gather in Stockholm to meet, greet and make business. This was the 61st fair, proof that the Scandinavians have been celebrating each other's design prowess long before the rest of the world. Even the mighty Salone del Mobile in Milan is 10 years younger. To kick things off and set the scene for the show, here are the top 10 topics I took away from my Stockholm sojourn. Number 1. Stockholm is home to the finest cabinet makers on the planet. If Finnish design is about simple, everyday classics, and Danish design is about clean-lined modernism, the Swedes are kings of good old-fashioned carpentry and cabinet making. Stand after stand at the Stockholm Furniture Fair testified that the Swedish design heritage of exquisitely crafted wooden furniture is alive and kicking. 2. Young Swedes aren't buying furniture. That said, such beautiful furniture comes at a price, and it's a price that's too expensive for the new generation of Swedish homemakers. Countless heritage manufacturers are finding their homegrown markets, where traditionally they relied upon for the majority of their sales, are shrinking. Number 3. Old companies are working with young international designers. It's good news for young designers like Inga Sempe, Luca Nicchetto and Front, who are all being commissioned to inject a bit of youth into old manufacturers' catalogues of design. This will of course attract press and, with any luck, a new international audience. Number 4. Slow design. Sweden's heritage manufacturers are also championing the notion of slow design, using their craft and quality to their best advantage. This is not an industry about to offload its manufacturing to Eastern Europe or China for the sake of shifting a million units. Number 5. Flat pack. Trust the Swedes to take a practical approach to promoting environmentally friendly design, No, it's not all hemp and recycled plastic here. The nation that gave us IKEA is now experimenting with flat-packing high-end furniture too, highlighting the reduced carbon emissions that come with shipping neat little boxes of self-assembly chairs, tables, shelves, and even beds. 6. Leather, brass, marble, and wood. The Swedish aesthetic is entirely elegant. As with the rest of the European furniture industry, natural wood is the material of choice. But here in Sweden, it is supplemented with brass, marble, and leather to give it an altogether more precious, regal finish. Number 7. The best schools in Europe. If you want to study design, head to Sweden, where there are more than 15 world-class schools. They each showcased their final year projects at the Stockholm Furniture Fair and nailed the balance between traditional handcraft and contemporary problem solving. Number 8. Looking beyond your homegrown star. Stockholm needs to ease up on commissioning its homegrown design powerhouse, Klyson Koivisto Rune, to design its latest bars, restaurants, hotels and shops. The triumvirate studio is talented and prolific, but their new Nordic aesthetic is flooding the capital with a lot of commercial spaces that are beginning to look identical. And there are many other brilliant young designers that deserve a chance to decorate their hometown too. Number 9. 7-Eleven Heaven. One of my favourite things about Stockholm is the fresh baking and endless pick and mix available at the 7-Elevens. Team that with the numerous hot dog stands, and breakfast and lunch on the hoof are sorted. Number 10. Stockholm is the cosiest fair on the circuit. Though you're invariably trudging your way through snow and temperatures several degrees below freezing, there's no cosier fair on the circuit than Stockholm. As you'd expect, the Swedes do winter elegance to perfection. Time spent outdoors is brisk and fur-clad, but once inside, it's a haven of plump upholstered furniture, candles and log fires twinkling against polished brass. Team this with a bottle of red wine and some meatballs, and you'll understand why the Stockholm Furniture Fair is everyone's favourite. And before you get sick of my voice, it's time to visit the first of our Scandinavian design retailers. Anyone with even a scant appreciation of design knows that the Scandinavian furniture industry is one synonymous with quality and durability. Scandinavian furniture reaches more people in more homes, arguably, than any other region's design. So in our bid to uncover exactly why Scandinavian design has such an enduring, far-reaching appeal, we visited 4 retailers in 4 continents. First up, our woman in Sao Paulo, Sheena Rossiter, dropped by Danish Design. No prizes for guessing what they sell.
The name of the shop is Danish Design. My name is Rolf Andersen. What we do is we try to make available for the Brazilian the best of what Denmark has to offer in terms of design. We try to offer an alternative to what the Brazilians are used to. It's a different style that they are used to, but it's a style that's already well renowned all over the world.
Why Sao Paulo?
Sao Paulo is really the commercial capital of Brazil. This is where most designer shops set up. It's the biggest market in Brazil, but it's also where most interior designers, architects, they have at least a head office here. From Sao Paulo, you are actually able to serve the rest of Brazil. We have clients from all over the country. And those people that want to know what's the latest trend, what is in at the moment, they do realize that they most likely will have to come to Sao Paulo to find out.
What are some of the special things in your latest stock?
We have recently introduced a line of smaller objects called Architect Made, company behind them. And I really like them because they really seem to captivate what Danish design is about. They are funny in their appearance, but yet functional, and it's great craftsmen that's behind them. So I think they're amazing.
Can you describe what they look like a little bit?
We have the duck family, for instance, where you have the mother duck and the small duck, all handmade in noble wood. We have the turning trays by Finn Juhl, a classic as well. Utzon, Jan Utzon made some glasses called Spring. It's design classics made by renowned designers. And
what's flying off the shelves, and why do you think it's so popular here in Brazil?
Right now we have summer in Brazil. So our outdoor furniture line made by Kane Line is becoming more and more popular. And I think they seem to go back to the root of how the Danish design all started. They're making beautiful design pieces at affordable prices, great functionality and great durability. And that really hits a home run here as well.
Why do you think Scandinavian design has such an enduring cross-cultural appeal, and will people ever tire of it?
I don't think people will ever get tired of it. The classic pieces especially, they have already stood the test of time. They're not affected by changes in color, changes in fashion, or even the culture that surrounds them. They are created for one specific purpose, and they are perfectly fulfilling that purpose. And that, I think, is really the secret of great design, something that can transcend time and fashions and ups and downs.
Do you buy mid-century as well as contemporary Nordic design for your shop?
Yes, we work with some of the classic producers like P.P. Mobler, Carl Hansen, who works with a lot of Hans Wegner's pieces. Then we have a couple of companies that do both, I would say, Erik Jorgensen, Fredericia Furniture. They work on some of the classical pieces, Baumonsen, Hans Wegner, but they also have some of the newer generation of designers in their collection. And we also work with some that's focused more on the more modern style. We work with Hay, and we work with Kane Line as well, which is representing more of the up and coming younger designers.
Which one piece would you rescue from a fire?
I think some of my personal favorites are really some of the classic pieces. I really love Hans Wegner and some of the chairs that he has made. I would say it's probably a tough call between the circle chair and the flagline chair. I think those are probably my two favorites.
That was Sheena Rossiter in Sao Paulo with Rolf Andersen, founder of Danish Design. We're going to take a short break, but stay tuned. We are hearing how the Finns invaded Stockholm with a feast for the eyes and the tummies during the furniture fair next.
The Urbanist is a show about the cities we live in, and it introduces you to the planners, thinkers and architects who want to make urban life rattle along like a well-tended tram, not grind to halt like a taxi with a flat tire.
We see that our community is changing, and we have two alternatives. We could make it an eyesore in the community, or we can make it a shining jewel. And we chose to make it a shining jewel.
Leave the countryside to the softies and listen to the show that knows that a bit of grit and bustle is good for you. That's The Urbanist, premiering every Thursday at 1900 London time here on Monocle 24.
Welcome back to Section D here on Monocle 24. Avid listeners will be aware that Helsinki is the world design capital this year. And they kicked things off by descending on Stockholm during the furniture fair, with one of the more intriguing events of the week. Hell yes, the event was a feast of Finnish food, song, design and dance. Masterminded by chef Anto Melasniemi, together with illustrator Klaus Happaniemi and designer Mia Wallenius. The Finns took over the former church on the island of Skeppsholmen for a week-long evening celebration. It was pagan in parts, but it was very uplifting in others. And our woman in Stockholm, Elna Nikkanen Andersen, spoke to them to find out more.
Hell yes, it's started as a design exhibition, functional one.
Yeah, it was commissioned by a Finnish was it Culture Institute or Finnish Institute in London. Mm. And the concept was to create like experimental workshop first with different designers and people interested in food and culture and art and all that kind of stuff.
We were collecting items and ideas that were maybe some familiar for us, some forgotten, but trying to kind of also create a layer of history on top of new stuff that we were creating. And now we kind of taking the next step and doing the Helios number 2 that will be in Stockholm. Starting in Stockholm, we're gonna go into a old church on a Skeppsholmen, and we're gonna take it over for 5 days, do kind of experimental dinner there. We'll be serving, I think, like a food based on Finnish tradition, kind of bit on the maybe the Karelian tradition, more Eastern than Western, but we'll see. Yeah,
it's like a social experience this time. It's the whole concept has evolved into totally different level, but there's like expressive arts and like dance, for example, and then there's textile architects and also fashion and design. But I think this time the most interesting things are the space itself and the combination of like movement and the interaction between the customers and the space itself.
And what is special about Finnish design and Finnish food?
I think, I mean, this time we are not showcasing so much of Finnish design, but it's more like our vision of like one side of the Finnish design and the aesthetics. Like the this time we are bringing up this new world of like pagan, almost like pagan ritual. Would you call it like that?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, and we are taking it to a church. So there's this clash between like two major, like massive cultural institutions.
It's not like nationalistic in its nature. Kind of trying to forget this, but there is obvious kind of idea that when Swedish brought the religion to Finland and
yeah, like Christianity, and then we are kind of like counter-circling it back to back to Sweden, this pagan mysticism, Finnish nature church.
Yeah.
Right, because the Swedes brought Christianity to Finland in the first place.
So
but now you're bringing paganism here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's also this.
They strike back. And so you said you're gonna be making Karelian food. Could you tell a little bit about that? What are the typical dishes, for instance?
No, I just find that there's many dishes like bakery and certain things that are not so, because obviously Finnish food culture is pretty much a lot of influence from Sweden and from Russia. So for me, it's maybe more interesting to try to play with the Eastern side this time. But it's not this time. I would say the food is not as never is. I think for me, restaurant experience that I enjoy shouldn't be too much concentrated around food, more about the social and the getting together and the whole experience.
Yeah. That was Elna Nikkanen Andersson in Stockholm with the founders of Hell Yes. Time now for our second shop stop. This time, we're off to Shanghai to hear how Nordic design is making waves in the Chinese market. Justin Bergman, our man in Shanghai, swung by Paustian International to speak with Anders Sander Hansen.
China has an interesting relationship with Denmark. When I came here 10 years ago, the taxi drivers here are so friendly. They always ask you, where do you come from? And when I learned how to say Denmark, they would say Antusen to me. And it took me a while before I learned that this means Hans Christian Andersen. the famous Danish author of children's stories. And it turns out that all Chinese are brought up on Andersen's fairy tales, which is also why Denmark decided to send The Little Mermaid to the expo in Shanghai in 2010, which I think was a great move. Even though then we are a very small country, most Chinese do know of Denmark.
What are some of the special things that you have in your stock at the moment?
We have the chair you are sitting in at the moment, which has only been out for a number of years, designed by a young Danish designer. It's called the Ripple Chair, and you can see it's made of a kind of a plastic, but it's very flexible. You can see the ripples in it, which are inspired by water. And as usual, it is a very simple design. It's very elegant. However, it's I would say also very comfortable, very suitable for conference rooms, canteens, big meeting rooms. It's doing very well. Obviously available in many colors, easy to make in different colors, and it also comes as a bar stool.
And you also do supplying for businesses, mostly. And are there any other items that are particularly popular for businesses at the moment?
The key product that I have are our adjustable tables. These are work desks with engines in each side and a small console with two buttons where you can get the table to go up and down in height. The idea behind this is that it has been proven that most back problems are caused by sitting down for too long and sitting badly, poorly. And so if you have an adjustable table, it allows you to stand up, perhaps after lunch or at different times of the day. And this has proven to be very healthy.
Why do you think Scandinavian design has such an enduring appeal across cultures? And do you think this will ever go away?
Well, the reason I love Danish design and the reason why I do believe it will endure and the reason I believe it is so popular across many cultures is because it is a very distinct style. It's not difficult to spot a Scandinavian design, and it's not just the look that's important. It's also the fact that typically you find these designs are very functional and very comfortable. They are able to match each other, furniture with buildings, with lamps, with carpets. And finally, they have real character. I believe this is appreciated across all cultures.
And is there one piece in your shop that you would choose to rescue from a fire?
Yes, the low lounge chair you see over there is our Spinal 80. You can see it here in a very fresh turquoise, but it comes in a lot of colors. You can see it's quite unique. It has a very wide base. It's good for a canteen. It's good for a bar. It's extremely comfortable. You can have a meeting in it, drink in it, fall asleep in it. So that's, for me, is very special at the moment, and we're doing very well with that. Quite unique.
That was our Shanghai correspondent, Justin Bergman, with Anders Sander Hansen. He's the general manager at Paustian International in Shanghai. Back in Stockholm, the precocious voice of one teenage girl is taking the city's airwaves by storm. Amanda Mayer might be just 17, but her voice is drawing comparisons to Kate Bush, and I, for one, was quickly hooked. Her eponymous debut album is about to drop. But I've got a little sneak preview for you here. This is Amanda Mayer with Doubt. That was Amanda Mayer with Doubt, and we'll be hearing another song from her later on in the show. Before that, though, we're off to Toronto for the third of our shop stops. Mjölk, which is the Swedish for milk, is a recent addition to the retail landscape. It stocks alongside a wide range of Scandinavian design, a few Japanese things thrown in there for good too. And we sent our reporter, Christopher Frey, to meet with the owners. And here's what he found.
My name is Julie Doust.
My name is John Baker, and we're the owners of Mjölk, a Scandinavian design shop. Mjölk means milk in Swedish, and milk is, you know, it's very pure, it's essential, it's white as well, so it kind of just reflects the pieces we carry in the store, having the word milk. We specialize in goods from Scandinavian and handcrafts from Japan.
And why in Toronto?
Well, Toronto is, it's where we live. Makes sense to open a shop where you live.
We opened in Toronto because when we started shopping for things for our home, we couldn't find anything in Toronto that appealed to our sensibility. And so we just noticed that there was kind of a big gap in the marketplace and decided to start bringing these items over for other people in Toronto that we assumed were like us.
What are some of the special things you have in your latest stock?
A new series we're really excited about is a set of 5 perfumes by Icelandic artist Andrea Mack. And they're basically inspired by her illustrations. And the idea of bringing the scent is the longest lasting memory. So kind of you have the visual image, but then you're left with the smell.
One new thing that we have is their blankets from Norway. They're made by Røros, which has been making blankets for a really long time, but they're designed by Andersen and Vall. They used to be a part of Norway Says, but they've branched off, and they're really a nice quality blanket, but designed very modern.
What's flying off the shelves right now, and why do you think it's so popular?
Right now, one of the most popular items in the store is the original cheese planer by Thor Bjorklund. It's made in Lillehammer, Norway. It's been made there since the 1930s. And I think people like it because it's useful and it's timeless.
Strangely, a really popular item is an item that was the first item that we ever sold, which is a concrete shaving kit by Lovisa Wattman. It still is a really, really popular item and sells out all the time.
Why do you think Scandinavian design has such an enduring cross-cultural appeal?
Well, I think it's just Scandinavian design itself is the idea of eliminating all unnecessary decorations, so it's kind of taking forms to its kind of purest. And something like that, you don't really grow tired of. You appreciate it, and I think that's what makes it so enduring.
Do you buy mid-century as well as contemporary Nordic design for your shop?
Not at this time. However, we do carry some designs that are mid-century designs in our collection, like Borg Mogensen, Hans Begner, Nana Ditzel. So we do have a bit of that mid-century product in our showroom, even though it is produced new.
We primarily focus on new works, but we recently did a pop-up shop selling mid-century Scandinavian jewelry over Christmas, which was a lot of fun.
You also carry a fair number of Japanese pieces. Is there a shared sensibility there for you between Japanese and Scandinavian?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of crossover between Scandinavian design and Japanese design. A lot of Scandinavian design is informed by kind of the wabi-sabi Japanese way of living, and that kind of mid-century work that was, you know, done in the 30s, 40s, and 50s has kind of gone on to influence a lot of contemporary Japanese architects, so it kind of keeps going back and forth, back and forth.
Which one piece would you rescue from a fire in your shop?
The biggest item in the shop, which is a Borg Mogensen sofa, and just because it's just using the best materials, and it would be such a shame to lose.
I would rescue. I'd probably rescue a big piece too. I don't think we'd get out. We would get out of the fire very quickly. But I would maybe take the Spanish chair by Borg Mogensen.
That was Christopher Frey, our man in Toronto, speaking with the owners of Mjölk, his local Nordic design emporium. I'm joined in the studio now by Monocle's creative director, Richard Spencer-Powell. Richard, it's becoming a bit of a weekly check-in with you to find out about your graphic design wisdom.
Yes.
And given I have just come back from Stockholm, I wanted to pick your brains about Swedish graphic design or what has sort of piqued your interest.
First of all, I think Sweden's obviously got a great design heritage, and I was lucky to go a few times, probably over 10 years ago now, and I've been back not quite once a year, but probably every other year. And it was one of those first places that I actually went in Europe where I just thought the graphic design, the sensitivity, and all the design in general was really, quite something. And it wasn't, I think, probably until I went to Japan that I found another kind of a match to it. And although they're kind of bipolar in terms of where they sit on the globe, they're quite aligned in their approach to design. There's in the past, I've sort of spoken about a sweetness that they have in Japan. I think it's the same thing in Sweden. They take it quite seriously, but nothing is too slick. It's not like Britain where everything is glossed and foiled. It's a bit more natural, a bit like the sort of wood materials you see in their airport lounges.
Exactly, and we were talking just before and you were saying that there's something very healthy about it, and it's not just healthy living, but everything looks healthy.
Yeah, it's like a menu design is kind of in line with how the plate of food looks in a way. Stockholm Design Lab, who are one of the most successful bureaus there, probably the end of the 90s, they did the SAS rebrand for the airline. And, it was a real triumph. And it wasn't too glossy. It wasn't too flashy. It was just very, very sensitive, very kind of the little poems on the outside of the door. And, they really kind of went into the whole, that was sort of Sweden all over. It's got paperless offices and all of those things. And it just ties it all together nicely, and nothing is ever offensive. Nothing ever sort of leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
And it's interesting, just Stockholm Design Lab also does a lot of work in Japan as well. I was reading earlier that they have done a lot of the packaging design for Askel, which is a big Japanese office supplies mail order firm.
Yeah, they are. They're very successful. And I think there is a link. I don't quite know why there's a link between Sweden and Stockholm and Tokyo, but there seems to be. There's an old, the most famous graphic designer from Stockholm from the 50s is Olli Exel. And I sort of first learned about him many years ago from a Swedish designer and when I was working at Wallpaper. And I'd never saw anything about that designer apart from in that publication and then when I went to Tokyo where Pi Books did this amazing retrospective on his work. And it's surprising how sort of forgotten and overlooked he is in Europe, and yet, Japan on the other side of the world can spot that talent. And the work is kind of, is very similar. It's 50s illustration, it's simple, it's sweet, nice colours. Again, it's just those two countries seem to be somehow aligned.
Mysteriously aligned. Maybe there's a big tunnel. And I wanted to pick your brains briefly on the schools as well, because, again, part of the Stockholm Furniture Fair, one of my favourite elements of it is all the schools show their final year projects. And I spoke earlier in the show about how high the quality is, not just in product design, but graphics, typography, textiles, everything. But you've had a sort of brush with some of these schools in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, no, we've often had grads from Konstfack or Bergs come through the ranks at Monocle or at Wink and in the past too. And I think the thing that always struck me about those graduates is that they just struck a nice balance between good creative ideas but a slight sort of head for business. They weren't too serious, but they were very focused and career-minded. And I think of those two schools I just mentioned, they were pushing for design internships more than anyone, more than London colleges like St Martin's, where I think, the goal is you graduate and then you go on to maybe do an MA. I think the Swedish colleges were, let's get our students into working practice, let's really start learning the skills that you're going to need for the next, 40 years, not just the next one. And like you say, the standard of work is very high.
And Swedish magazines?
Yes, they've been good. One of my old favourites, again, is sort of going back a few years, was Stockholm New, which I think was very critically successful, and just some brilliant ideas in there, lovely photography. Again, an odd link to Tokyo, in that I was in Tokyo a few years ago and there was an exhibition about Stockholm New, and they had back issues I'd never seen, and of course I bought them. But again, it's just a great bit of healthy Swedish design. Everyone looked amazing. All the kind of photography was very beautiful. It wasn't wafy or grungy. It was just, health on the page, which I think is what you get from Sweden.
Thank you very much, Richard Spencer-Powell.
Welcome.
Time for a short break, but stay with us. We're going back to Stockholm next with a band of bright young things by the name of Form Us With Love.
It started with a shop in London's Marylebone, and now Monocle has stores in New York, Tokyo, Hong Kong, and a shop in Osaka. And then there's the Monocle Cafe in Tokyo. Come in to find exclusive collaborations with brands we believe in, from Barenna jackets to Porter luggage. Great for gifts, even better for personal treats. And if you're missing an issue from your Monocle archive, we can soon fix that. Visit monocle.com for store addresses and opening times. The Monocle Shop. Carefully crafted design, proud of its provenance.
Welcome back to Section D. Form Us With Love is one of Sweden's new generation of design talent, taking the region and the whole industry by storm. Founded in 2005 by four young Swedish graduates, the studio is proof that Sweden's design industry isn't purely rooted in a weighty cabinet-making tradition. This year, they showed five new projects in a cavernous hall in the Swedish Museum of Architecture. And together with the finished products, they showed videos that highlighted the creative process behind each collaboration. The exhibition was fittingly called Form Us With Friends, and I spoke to Form Us With Love member John Lofgren about their work.
So we're here at Skeppsholmen in Stockholm, and we're having an exhibition together with our five producers we worked with during the year. And thanks to Architectural Museum of Stockholm, we have a space, I think it's used for dancing lessons now, but they used to make torpedoes.
Oh my God. And today you're showing lights and chairs, not torpedoes.
Exactly. So it's quite a difference.
And you've said that these are the five projects that you've worked on in the last year, and there's quite a range of different things. There's sound panels, there's stone, there's wooden chairs, lights. You, as part of sort of a young design studio, tend to work in lots of different materials, lots of different
companies.
Yeah,
we're not bounded to any materials. So we just, our focus is to helping production of design pieces. It could be furniture, lighting, or even strategic kind of means regarding the overall shaping of the company.
So it's like making an idea concrete.
Come to life, yeah, more or less. So that's something that we're happy about to see them all together, because you don't really know before you see them that how things gonna come together. Like you said, it's stone vases together with chairs and lighting. So it's nice to see everything together.
And how do you feel when you see it all together here? You haven't made any mistakes.
When you have been working with something so much, you're always looking at the things you would have done different, I think. You're never satisfied.
Oh, so you've got regrets then?
No, not regrets. That's a strong word. But I definitely could... but we're satisfied, definitely. It feels good.
No, but it's quite healthy, because one of the things that annoys me about so many of the designers working today who work with lots of different companies is it feels like a race to get something finished. And maybe they don't always go back over their old work and look at it.
It definitely is. You can get the feeling of a race, especially now regarding the fair. It's once a year. The producer is really eager to show something new. So that's why we think this kind of venue with this framework is really relieving, because we can show stuff that isn't done. Because all the things you see here is just prototypes. So, though with a high finish, but that's really relieving. So if we really hadn't the time to make it completely finished, it wouldn't be okay, because we're really focusing or want to show the process behind it and tell the story. So there's no rush. So that's really
work in progress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is important. Yeah. Well, let's go over here and maybe you could just tell me a little bit about this very exciting project for a brand new Finnish company called One Nordic Furniture Company.
Yeah. And like the name tells, it's a really how to say, a flirt with a Nordic history in a way, but definitely in a new modern context. So the idea is to sell semi-flat packages with furniture over the net.
And this is a chair that comes in four pieces, and really it couldn't be simpler. You just screw it together and clip the back on.
Yes. So like I told you before, we see this as a really, you always compare to Apple, but you really want to see it and touch it, and you see how it works without no manuals or small screws or the really flat pack thing. So we have a thing that is really simple. You see how you're going to use it, and yeah.
Very nice. It's like a mixture of high-end IKEA and Brio and Lego.
Thanks.
And then maybe if we could talk a little bit about these lights here, which are...
This is a lighting project we call Plug Lamp, because it's all about the plug, actually. The lightning contains a plug, and it's we haven't tried to hidden it. Rather, it's more the opposite around. We really... And
do you switch it on and off by pulling the plug out?
Yeah, big dimmer on the side.
It's very nice. They're very sturdy.
Yeah, it's molded aluminum now. And as we see it, we wanted... I think this project is something that we really need ourselves, because we nowadays you have your smartphone, your PC, you need the electricity, or otherwise you're more or less... empty-handed.
The best things are born from necessity.
Yeah.
And you were telling me earlier that you formed 6 years ago? 7 years ago?
Yeah, we're on our 7th year.
Gosh. And it's you and three of your fellow classmates?
Yeah, it's me and two of my fellow classmates. We met up in school, south part of Sweden, a little town called Kalmar. And we spent 3-4 years there, starting the company, and now we're based in Stockholm.
And I mean, I've been coming to Stockholm for years to the fair, and you've always had a big presence at the fair. Not at the fairground itself, but usually in the city, sort of putting quite a lot of effort into the exhibition that you do.
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned, we're in this because we're really into the holistic perspective. We want to pick the space ourselves, in what kind of surroundings we present ourselves. So I think this framework has really grown and really comfortable showing outside the fair. I think this is we see this as a interesting complement to the fair, more or less. And
And from the point of view of actually explaining to visitors, not just sort of Swedish visitors, but international visitors, what you were about as a design team and what your work is about, picking a venue that sort of helps to tell that story is quite an important part of it, I would think.
Definitely. I think, I mean, we really want to shape everything from the graphics to the product, to the surroundings, how it's going to be launched, etc. So, yeah, that's something that works out fine when you do everything yourself.
It's a new generation of Swedish design.
Perhaps.
Typically modest. Well, thank you very much. And I hope the party tonight is fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That was me in the Swedish Museum of Architecture with John Lofgren of Local Design Studio. Form us with love. And from the chilly heights of the Northern Hemisphere to the balmy depths of the Southern, it's time to hit our fourth and final Nordic design store, and this time we're off to Sydney. Kate Olbersen popped into Nordic Fusion to find out what's flying off the shelves there and why.
My name is Camilla Bohill, and I have Nordic Fusion in Northern Beaches of Sydney. So Manly and Mossman are the two stores. I moved to Sydney 10 years ago, and I used to be working in banking. When we came here, I had my second child and I had no interest to go back working full-time in the city. I met a friend on the beach, and she was talking about she always dreamt about opening up a shop. I went home thinking, why hasn't she? I had been here for 6 months and I thought it was time to do something. So I called her up and asked Gry, why haven't you opened up a shop? And she thought it was all about this big business plan, talking to big banks and all that. And I thought, if you buy something and then you sell it. So 3 weeks later, we opened up our first store. That's how it started. Small. I hadn't been in Sydney that long, but I couldn't find the quality I was looking for in the type, the Scandinavian design I was used to. So I thought there must be, with the amount of people who lives here, there must be some people who has the same taste as me. We have Bjork jewelry, which I love, a Norwegian brand. Very cool, very personal, and very, it feels very special. I love our Papelina floor rugs, because the typical Scandinavian design, with what is typical Scandinavian design, is that it's so functional and easy to use and practical. And that's just kind of brings, Papelina is a typical brand for Scandinavia, I think, in that perspective. Marimekko, which we sell a lot, the fabrics and the fashion, because there's no one who's managed to reproduce anything like the Marimekko design and style, and it's just, it's always been popular, and now it has its flying popularity again, which is great. Oh yes, and the clogs, I forgot to say, that's definitely one of the biggest sales. Yes, everywhere in the northern beaches I see our clogs made in Dock, Småland in Sweden. That is just kind of a general wear now in northern beaches, which is great. I think the simplicity of it, that it's easy for the eye, it's also very, it's very practical. When you buy something which is Scandinavian, you don't just put it on a shelf for being decorative, you have to use it, and it's always made for a little clever usage, I think. People recognize Scandinavian things for quality and therefore wants to have it. I'm working with recycled leather. I would work with, all our products are stamped with the environmental. I would not touch anything else. Here in Australia, that is very Scandinavian, because in Australia, general mass don't think so much about where things comes from, how it's made, and how it's then after is used, what's going to happen with it in the environment. And that's something which is important for me.
That was Kate Orbison in Sydney at Nordic Fusion. And that brings us neatly to the end of our Scandinavian design extravaganza. Next week, we're checking in with Bjarke Ingels of Big Architects in Denmark. We'll be hearing from the Bahraini team behind the winning show at the Venice Architecture Biennale in 2010. And we'll also be hopping over to Cuba and Beirut for a bit of a design tour on the way. Make sure to join us then. Today's Section D was produced by Gillian Tobias. Our researcher was Thea Erdl, and our editor was James Bacon. I'm Hugo MacDonald, and to play us out, here's another track by Amanda Mayer. This is just called House. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.